Hey, and we are on Nun Hey on top, right at the beginning, Lema Kitanoi. So just before we start, one note that I did not get enough time to mention yesterday. Yesterday we were discussing the issues of Tumas Meis, as we have been discussing the past couple of days, and we have two more dafim related to these sugyas. And the Gemara mentioned the two brises that were quoted by Rish Lakish in order to ultimately get to the maskana of proving that you could even have Tumas Meis, even by an etzem that does not have Kizayas Basar on it. That was the Lamaskana. The Rachmana was Rabye. But one of the Limudim that came up in the Pasuk was Obe Meis, Obe Kever, Amar Ishtaka is that Kever Shalafneha Dibur. So we discussed yesterday the discussion of Tumas Meis for a Jew, Tumas Meis for a non-Jew, the three-way Machlokas we've shown him about Tumas Ovde Kochavim, whether they're not Matame at all, Matame B'Maga B'Masa, Matame B'Ohel, all the related issues. So one point I mentioned, Derech Agav was the Ramban, and that was the status of Am Yisrael before Maimon Har Sinai. Were they super B'nai Noach? Were they miniature Jews? Various sugyas, the 2 days of the Ramban in the end of Parshas Emor. And also related to that was even, let's say, post-Maimon Har Sinai. Jews, is there any exception to the rule? So we know the exceptions to the rule are, if somebody is a Kohen, that they can be Patami for their family. Any other exceptions to the rule? What if somebody is a great big tzaddik? Right? Is that an exception to the rule? Could a Kohen go to the Gadol Ador's Levaya? Well, go to Levaya, stay very far away. But is there any other heter? So that is a big discussion in the, a little in the Rishonim already, and it's been in the Poskim discuss. Is there any type of heter? Now, Lamaisa, there is no heter. But there are some hints to it in the Rishonim. The Medrash tells us and part of this is also, it's half the question of Kohanim going into Maras HaMachpelah, right? Even if you answer no to that question, then you have to ask, Maras Machpelah, is it really a kever? Is it really above it? Is there space underneath that could, as we discussed yesterday, is it a kever sasum? Right, the exact measurements. But there are sources in the Redi and Chazal that hint to an idea of kivrei tzadikim not being metame. It already starts with Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara in Tainis, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. So he didn't really die, so he wasn't really metame, and that's why the Pasuk tells us in Vayechi, the Archaim HaKadosh suggests this. In Vayechi, that's why Yosef jumped on Yaakov and touched him and kissed him after he died. We don't usually do that. We don't think Yosef HaTzadik would not be able to control himself unless like when he met his father, he also gave his father a hug. It was Yaakov Avinu that was able to say Kriya Shema. But Yosef jumped on him. So Archaim HaKadosh says, Yosef could do that because Yaakov Avinu lo meis. But most of us, everybody else, you know, with Israel, Misa, we know that the Nefesh goes up to Shemayim. And generally, it's not encouraged to do that. It might be normal. It might be emotionally accepted. But halachically, there's no reason. But anyway, but that's Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says only Yosef, but nobody else. Only Yaakov, but nobody else. But there are various midrashim. There's a midrash in Mishlei. Medrash Mishlei says, "Kishenera Rabbi Akiva Idi Malchus Arisha." When Rabbi Akiva was killed by the Romans, Nitba Bekuraso Elio Anavi Zochor Latov. And Eliyahu Navi was involved in his kvura. There's a big shaila in the Rishonim. What shevet Eliyahu Navi was from? Machlokas. What was Eliyahu Navi from? You would think we would know exactly his yichus. Machlokas. What shevet he was from? So we'll see what the Medrash assumes. Vayanos Oksefav. Eliyahu Navi was carrying Rabbi Akiva. Yachad im Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi Tamidosh Rabbi Akiva. Shor Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi is Eliyahu. Right. This is one of the times that Eliyahu must have come in the flesh. We know that we like to quote the Chasam Sofer's Tshuva in Chelek Vav, where he talks about the two ways that Eliyahu Navi reveals himself. At a bris, we don't see him, and he could be at 10 britot at the same time, meaning he can't be coming in his guf, because he could be there, and he could come on Shabbos, there's no problem of tchum, and the Seder, well, we don't have to shake the table and say he came. We could say his neshama came, his guf doesn't come to the Seder. His neshama comes to the Seder. So, sometimes he comes in his neshama, that's for all of us, but once in a while, Eliyahu Navi comes in the guf. There are stories about people who have Gilui Eliyahu, and in the Gemara tells stories about Amoraim meeting Eliyahu Navi, the Gemara in Tainis, when Amoraim met Eliyahu Navi, who's going to Elam Haba in the marketplace. Various stories, the Gemara in the beginning of Brachas. So here too, Eliyahu Navi was carrying Rabbi Akiva away. So his Talmud, Rabbi Akiva's Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua, asks, V'halo Kohen Mar, are you a Kohen? That's one opinion. which Shevet Elyon Elvi was from, right? Shevet Levi. For Asir L'Kohen L'Tam El'Meis. How could you carry Rabbi Akiva? Omer Lo, Elio, Chayecha Rabbi Yoshua. Let me teach you something. She'ein Tuma B'Talmidei Chachamim V'lo B'Talmideihem. Wow. Yalkut Mishlei. Right? There's no Tuma. Rabbi Akiva's not Matame. Rabbi Akiva's not Matame. Wow. Right? And based on this, and based on others, there's a Tosfos at the end of Ksubis, which I'll read. Tosfos says there on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, on the day that Rebbe died, speaking about Rebbe, Osa Shmeis Rebbe, Batla Kedusha. That's what the Gemara says there. That's why they called him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Says Tosfos there, Vada Tanya Bishili Sota, either end of the Mishnah, this Mishnah is at the end of Sota, coming up in a couple of weeks. Be'ez Hashem, says, Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anava V'Yira. Aye, there it says, a humility finished, and not Kedusha. Yesh lomar, Kedusha bichlal. Okay, Kedusha, Anava, year, it's all the same. But then Tosfos quotes, V'harav Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, Haya Omer, which we're going to start with in a minute also. Rabbi Chaim Kohen is in the Tosfos, the end of yesterday's daf. Rabbi Chaim Kohen, Haya Omer, Il male hayiti kishenifta Rabbeinu Tam. If I would have been around when Rabbeinu Tam died, hayiti metamelo, I would have been metame for him. Rabbi Chaim Kohen. He was a Kohen. He was a Kohen. I would have been metame for him. What do you mean? Tahai batla kedusha dekamar hacha hainu kedushas kahuna. Wow. Full kedushas kahuna. We don't have any more. Maybe we're mechzakim, we're not miyuchasim. V'chein muchach mi dekamar oso ayom ashba oso ayom dafka. V'sulo. And he continues. And there's another version of the Yerushalmi, Kishameis Rebbe Amru Ein Kahuna Hayom, right? There's no Kahuna, and Tosfos doesn't like it. Ve'nir al Rebbe, to Kimedume al Rebbe, to Hasam Ayr Betumas Pesapras, to Rabbanon, Avotuma Daraisa Lo, right? Not Tuma Daraisa, but there are hints in the Rishonim here and there and in the Midrashim about this idea. But Lamaisa, we don't pass in that way, because there's more evidence, and all the poskim weigh in on the other side, right? We know the Gemara, the source of Pesach Sheni. Right? Why were the people tummy in the Midbar? Pesach Sheni. So some say they were carrying Aron Osha Yosef. They were carrying Yosef's bones throughout the desert. Yosef. Yosef was a big tzaddik. Right? He was matami them. He made them tummy. Right? The Rabbi Basra, the story of Rabbi Bana used to go around and was mitzayin the Kivrei Avos. He was mitzayin them, the Kivrei Avos, Yitzchak and Yaakov, to make sure the Kohanim didn't go near. So there's much evidence that Kohanim are not allowed to be Matame even for great tzaddikim. But the Gemara Sanhedrin that we like to quote also, when the heretic asks one of the Tanoim, if your God is a Kohen, right? V'yikhuli Truma, right? So in what was he Matar himself after he buried Moshe Rabbeinu? Right, so the answer was, the Tosfos is there, so why, how can he be Matami himself in the first place? Oh, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Right, so Moshe was his son, so it was family, but the whole assumption of that Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't get greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu created Tumah. That is the discussion of this topic. So post Maimon Har Sinai, all Jews are Matami. Doesn't matter who one is. Yaakov Avinu, you want to talk about? Okay, maybe Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, even though it says in the Torah that they wrapped him up, they mummified him. But Yaakov, maybe, but other than that, the poskim assume that we have to be machmir. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in Yechav Edas, in Dalet Nun Ches, where he discusses this in the context of Maras Machpelah, and he says in Lamaisa at the end, Kohanim should not go into Maras Machpelah. Mikol Makom Nira She'ikir Lamaisa She'ein Lahorit. There are other poskim that are cholek, but Rav Avadya here in this tshuva holds that they are. We have to be machmir to assume safek daraisa, to assume that it could be a problem. Okay, so weiter in the Gemara now. Just to end off, also the big Tosfos in the bottom of yesterday's daf, Tashma Tosfos there discusses all of the a lot of the issues we mentioned of Cherev Hariyu Kachalo, the unique halacha in the world of Tumah V'Tahara, that the Tumah V'Tahara does not go down, it goes across. One of two or three exceptions only, that Tumah is not transferred down, but Tumah transfers across. The question is, how across does it go? How much is Cherev Mamish like Chalal? Right, that was the question. Is there Tumah's Ohel? Is there does it create Hazaz Gimel V'Zayin V'Chulu? But that was all brought up, just to mention how that was brought up, because remember the last line we read yesterday, the Gemara quoted that the Mishnah, our Mishnah that quoted all these different items that do not uproot, are not soser, all the previous counting of the Nazir. So the Mishnah says, it's not soser. All you got to do is get sprinkled on day 3 and 7, and then you start again. Meaning it's Tumas Mace, but it's not soser. And the Gemara had a rhetorical question. That line can't be referring to everything on that list. Would a kli create Tuma for day 3 and day 7? If you touch a knife, if you touch a kli that was Batabe Mace, so Tosfos asks, why is that so difficult? Maybe we're talking about a cheref that touched a mace, and that's Harei Gochalan. That would create Tuma of that you require to be sprinkled by the ashes of the Paraduma day 3 and day 7. Why is that such a bad option? So the Tosfos discusses whether that will be true or not. And that's where Reb Chaim Cohen says, if that's true, and every metal kli, so then how could I ever walk into a house? Every metal kli was probably in a house with a Tamei Kalim at once. So that's the discussion in that big Tosfos. And just the bottom of the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam discusses, what about jewelry? Would that also have Cherev Harayu Kachala related to it? Tachshitin? With that, or is it only like weaponry? What about Tachshitin? So Tosfos discusses, the fifth to last line, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Tachshite Kli Malchis Shaper Mikri Begadim. Tachshitim also have the status of begadim, I might be included. Where do you see that a tachshit can be called a beged? There are 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol. One of them is the tzitz, right? The tzitz is jewelry. The tzitz is a gold plate, and yet it's called begadim, right? So that is a question of whether tachshitim are called begadim. There's a discussion, the Shavus Yaakov at the Shuv. Somebody assers a certain type of clothing on them. Does that include jewelry? Are tachshitin included in jewelry? The Sharm Sein Balacha, a number of places in Shas, whenever this comes up, he talks about jewelry, he talks about shoes, right? Are shoes included in clothing? Right, so that's the discussion. Okay, let's continue, Vayter, the top of today's daf. Lema kitanoi. So let's say this is really a machlokas tanoim. What are we talking about? Which issue? Lema kitanoi. We're talking about the issue that came up on yesterday's daf. Eretz ha'amim. Right, the Mishnah listed off that Eretz Ha'amim is one of the Tumos Durabanan. It does not uproot what a Nazir has counted already, because there's only Metamim Durabanan. But we had the question yesterday, why is Eretz Ha'amim Metame? Is it Mishum Gusha? Is it the dirt itself of the Eretz Ha'amim is Metame? Because we're worried about Suffolk Tumas Mace. There are many Mace, they have more lax rules of Tumas Mace in Chutz La'aretz, where people were buried, v'chulu, so that is why we're nervous about it, the gush, or is it even the airspace? The airspace, nafkamina, if you go in a box, a raised in the air box, in a shita tevu migdal, in Chutz La'aretz, would that be metames? That is the question the Gemara says. Now the Gemara says, maybe it's a machlokas tanoim, lema ketanoim, says the Gemara, nichnas la'aretz ha'amin, b'shita tevu migdal, our issue. If somebody goes to Eretz Ha'amim in one of these box, a tower, v'chulu, Rebbe Metameh, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda Metaher, Machlokas Tanoim. So what's that Machlokas Tanoim about? So my love, isn't it about our issue? This is the Nafkamina that we just mentioned. Rebbe Savar, Mishum Avira, Rebbe who says you're still Tameh is because of the air. You were in the airspace, even though you have a break between you and the ground. You were in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz, and that's Metameh, Midurabanan. Reb Yossi, Reb Yehuda Savar Mishum Gusha, Reb Yehuda said, no, it's the gush, it's the earth, the soil of Chutz La'aretz, that is Metame. And therefore, if you don't touch the gush, so then it would be okay, it wouldn't be Metame. So isn't that a Machlokas Tanoim? So the Gemara says, no, there are a couple of other possibilities that they might be arguing about, so you don't have to say it's a Machlokas about this. The Gemara says, lo, Dekuli Alma Mishum Gusha, it could be that everybody agrees that it's the dirt, the earth. If it's the earth, so why would the person in the air be Metame? Why would anybody say Tame? Why would Rebbe say Tame? The question is the Shida Tevo Migdal in the air, is that really a break? Is that a hafsik? Mar Savar Ohel Zaruk Shmei Ohel. One holds that an Ohel Zaruk is called an Ohel, literally an Ohel that flies, an Ohel that is thrown. Ohel Zaruk, is that called an Ohel? So the first day it says it is an OL. It could create a hefsik. It is considered. You stop time at every second and there's no problem. Shmei OL. Umar Sabar lo shmei OL. And the other opinion says no. Lo shmei OL. It is not called an OL. Therefore, it's as if you're straight between you and the ground. Nothing. And that's why you would be metame. If it's mishum gusha. And it's as if you're on the ground. Lo shmei Lo Shmei Ohel. Tosfos has an important line here. Tosfos at the end of Dibra Maskel Vahatanya, which we're going to get to this. Let's just read the next line of the Gemara first. Vahatanya, the Brisa says, supporting this. Because that's going to be the Kasha. The Tosfos quotes in the last couple of skinny lines that it is possible that even if somebody holds that it is Shmei Ohel, even if somebody holds that Shmei Ohel, it could be different than something that is supported in the air by, there's a difference between people supporting an OL versus something just flying through the air. The people supporting it might give it more stability. Tosfos quotes towards the end, V'tzarech lomar, d'olef mitalis ha-minafnefes. Right, it's different than a talus just waving. The Mishnah says an talus dein chotzes b'fnei atuma v'ein mevi'in v'hainu taima d'hacha adif mishum deragle ha'adam o ha'behema hanosim ashita v'ateva nogim ba'aretz aval talus but avnefes ba'avir umar saver. So it could go in either direction. It can give it more stability, but it's more connected to the ground. And therefore, if you have something just waving in the air, it's less sturdy. But it's not connected to the ground at all. So you might go in the very different directions in terms of that. This sugya of Ohel Zaruk, Shmei Ohel, Shmei Ohel, is a point of halacha l'maisa. Two issues. When Kohanim, it's a Kohanim day discussion, we're talking about Tumah. There are two issues. Kohanim, A, flying on an airplane where there is a mace. Once heard a percentage, a very high percentage in terms of how many El Al flights leaving from JFK have Aronos on them. Whatever that, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it's a pretty hefty number. So does a Kohen, I was going to say it's a Shiloh, does a Kohen have a Chiyuv, if he lives in the New York area, to always go fly from Newark, if he can? And if he has to pay a little more for that, is he Mechuyuv? Is there an issue with a Kohen flying, or are there ways that, you know, the areas, the compartments where the Aronos are put on the airplanes, they protect them from Tumah. That's number one. Not our issue right now. We're not going to get into. The other issue is flying over a Beis HaKfaris. Flying over a Beis HaKfaris. That's already where Moshe discusses this and others, right? This part of the issue is Ohel Zaruk. Ohel Zaruk. Even if you have it's called an Ohel and it's in its own container. But maybe that's an Ohel Zaruk. Even if it would be an Ohel on the ground, you know, maybe here it wouldn't count. So we've quoted the pastor Schechter as a piece about this in Ikve Atzon in Simon Lamed Hey, where he develops a chiddush based on other achronim. Still a tremendous chiddush regarding the whole sugya of Tumas Kohanim. It's a question that he deals with based on the Chubis Leif Aryeh and based on Rabbi Chanan discusses this, and that is Tumas Kohanim, is the Isser Mamish becoming Tameh? Or, generally, is it a more expansive Isser, what we might call Hiskarvus Lemes? Even if technically you don't become Tameh, there might be an Isser of Hiskarvus Lemes, and you might be Mechalik between them. We had a hint of this. He doesn't quote this, but we had a hint of this, if you remember, about 12 days ago. If you look back on Daf Mem Gimel, we had one line of the Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Gemara. The Gemara there spoke about if a Kohen is allowed to go into a room with a Goses. Remember, we had two different sources in the Gemara for Tumas Kohanim, Lehe Chalo or Bimosam. And the Nafkamina, the Gemara says, was Goses. Right? Bimosam, a Goses, is not dead yet. Lehe Chalo, he doesn't even have to be dead. So that was a machlokas tanoim in terms of a Kohen going into a room with a goseh. Spoke about that l'may nafkamina. So the brisa on the bottom of the amud quoted that a person is not metameh until he dies. Even goseh. So according to the Manta Amar, lahe chalo, it says the favors that a goseh is not metameh. So the Gemara answered, le'inyin timuye adenafkanavshe. Technically, the Tumah only kicks in from an actual person who died. To be mischalel his kedushas kahuna, that already happens by a goses. What does that mean? The Gemara itself is machalik between chilul kedushas kahuna and mamish tumas. When do you get malchus? When do you violate? Okay, it might be by Tumah. But the chilul already started before the person was dead. Rove goses in lamisa. Fine. The Gemara, the Masechah Sofrim says. Maybe a mere 1%, 1%, 0.05%, maybe it would come out of it. b'derech b'derech nes. So the chilul started without the tumah. So Rav Schechter develops the idea here in Siman Lamed Hey, relating to that sugya. V'yasodina dahakt kra delanefesh leitama ba'amav im geder ha'iser hu shelo yitame lames o shelo yiskarev lames. And generally, this turns out to be a chumrah, like we just said. Goses is a chumrah. Where else might it be a chumrah? Machlokas Ramam Raivin. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta. The Ramam says, Nitma lames pa'amim harbe. Right, based on the Mishnah earlier. If somebody's betame lames many times, an azir. Im hisru ba kalpam v'pamum avu metame lo kalkalachas v'achas. Ramam quotes the Mishnah. If somebody goes and is betame himself 10 times in one day, but he gets warning each time, he gets malchus for each time. That's the Rambam. And the Rambam continues, Bamed Ramamurim, Bishanitma, Upiresh, Vachazar Venaga. Right? If he wasn't still touching the dead body. Avalim Haya no Gea Bemes, Vadayan Ames Biyado, Vinaga Bemes Acher, Inochai Valachas. If he's still touching the original one, then he is not going to get malchus. And the Ravid there argues. What do you mean? Ravid says, we had a machlokas before about Tumah Bechiburin, Uladas Rabba, Bechol Tumah Vetumah, Afilishlo Bechiburin, Inochai Valachas. The shaila is this talking about on the same day, even if he's separate from the one he was touching? But he's still this tame from today. If he touched it the next day, okay, fine. So that extends the days he's tame. You could say it's a separate iser. But let's say it's the same day. So is that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? So what's the Rambam talking about? He's already tame from an hour ago. So what, he's not touching the dead body anymore. He's still tame based from today. It's still day one. So suggests Rav Schechter the Bahaki Pligi to betuma betuma biyom sheni. So then for sure lukuliyama aser. The machlokas is what about on that day? There's no tosefes tuma. So maybe what the Rambam holds is that there's still his karvus lames, and even though it doesn't make you more tame, you're still being miskarev. So you have it by that case. You have it by the rokeach, which rokeach probably the most. You know, there aren't too many well-known rokeachs, but this one, the Shach made famous. Why? The rokeach quotes a pregnant Ashes Kohen going into a cemetery. Right? It's an Ashes Kohen who's pregnant. Oh, Ashes Kohen could go into a cemetery, but maybe she's pregnant with a boy, and that boy is a Kohen. So maybe she shouldn't be able to go into the cemetery. So the rokeach paskins mutter mitam svek sveka. Maybe it's a girl, and even if it's a boy, maybe it's not a chai. Maybe it's a nefel. So Sveksveika, you're allowed to. And all the Achronim discuss is there really a Sveksveika? What if Abbas Barazat, that? When we can know what it is, you know, does that remove the Sveksveika? What if you know it's a boy? Is there the Magen Avraham asks? What about Tuma Balua? Right, you're surrounded. Right? Your mother's your Hefzik. Right? Is it Uber Yerachima we discussed earlier in the Masechta? Anyway, the discussion. So he quotes the Achiezer. The Achiezer says, even if you want to say technically there's no Tumas Meis, Mikol Makom, Osur Lekohen Lehiskarev Lemeis, Afilu Ba'ofan She'ena Matame. Right, this also might be in a situation of Hiskarvus. Then you have Goseis, then he talks about Afer Srufim. We discussed the Minchas Yisra a couple of days ago, Rachmano Litzlan, Ashes, Afer Srufim, and others as well. So came out in all the cases, it comes out to be a chumrah. But in the last section, in Siman Lamed Hey, he quotes the discussions of Ohel Zaruk. So he quotes there, maybe regarding here, it would be a kula. Because if you're flying all the way above the clouds, is that his karvus lames? Even if you want to say technically, you know, when you're in any of the other situations, there's a kiruv without tuma, but here, avav ba'ol zarek ha'parech ba'avir, ketalas ha'manaf nefes, shir b'mishnah, open osea ba'aviron, hasan l'kuli alma, maybe, shari l'koin la'avor al-gabi beis ha'kvaris, v'yav agad de'behai gabdi yeitami l'kuli alma, de'eno ko'el avil lo'havi es ha'tuma, mikol makom u'la yesh lomar, de'zewa ofen shol tumas o'el, hu kolkach meruchach min ha'meis, maybe it wouldn't be his karvus. It would be the one kula out of all of the examples given. Anyway, so that has to do with Ohel Zaruk that's mentioned here. So that's the first suggestion is the Gemara, back to the Machlokas. Is the Machlokas about going into a box into Chutz Laaretz? Is that about Gush versus Avir? The Gemara says no. Maybe it's about Ohel Zaruk. So, says the Gemara of Yatanya, and we mentioned the roots of that whole issue might be earlier on Daf Mem Gimel. Yatanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda Omer, Teva Shimalea Kalim, Vizarkal Pnei Hames, the Rishonim take out the next word, Ba'ohel. If somebody throws a box of Kalim onto a mace, Tameya. Why is it Tamei? Because that's an Ohel Zarek. Vim Haisa Munachas Torah. But if it's a box that's on the ground, that's solid on the ground, then it's Torah. It protects from Tumah. But what do you see from that? That's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda talking. And he holds Oel Zarek is not a good Oel. So back to the question. So how can an Ar Machlokes, he says Tahar. But what do you mean he says Tahar? Because the box is Oel Zarek Ishmei Oel. But he says Oel Zarek is Lashmei Oel. So we got to come up with a third possibility. The machlok is not about Gushvir Savir. It's not about Oel Zarek. What's it about? Ella Dekule Alma Mishem Avira. Everybody holds that it's the Tumah of Chutz Laretz is in the Avir. Tumah Savir. Umar Savar Kivan De Lo Shchicha Lo Gazer Be Rabbanan. The question is, this is a very unusual case. Somebody going in a box or in a towel, in a chest into Chutz Laretz. So there's Tumah Rabbanan here. There's Tumah Eretz Amim, where the Rabbanan goes there in this case. So we usually say Milsa De Lo Shchicha Lo Gazer Be Rabbanan. So that is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It's an uncommon case. So lo gazu umar savar afa gav de lo shchicha gazu berabanan. And the other bidi said no. Even though it's not shchiach here, they were still nervous and they were gozer. Vahatanya, and we even see this in a brisa. This vahatanya is a support. Vinichusa, we see that there's a difference between something common, something not common. Hanichlas la'aretz ha'amim b'shida tevu migdal tahar. Somebody goes in this unusual case, he's got to be tahar. Rabbanan did not create tumah in that unusual case. But if you go in a more common case, bikaron, you go on a wagon, ubisvina, or on a boat, or a biskarya, a different kind of boat, tameh, then you're going to be tameh, because that is a more common. Why should there be a distinction between the tower and the chest and the box versus the boat and the wagon? So it makes sense to say it has to do with milsa delo shchicha. And milsa delo shchicha, the suggestion is made that it doesn't just mean the Rabbanan wouldn't be gozer. The Rabbanan made laws for common cases. When they were mechadesh, dinim, takanas, gzeris, they did it for common cases. They wouldn't make a law for a case that hardly ever comes up. Milsad lo shchicha lo gazer bi Rabbanan. That's one shot of that line. But it also might mean not just that they wouldn't, but that they couldn't. The Rabbanan's power is specifically given to them by the Torah. Apiyatora shayarucha, and our obligation to follow them in cases where they are doing something l'tzorach hachlal. But the Rabbanan maybe don't have the authority to make laws for yechidim. They could have a rashah, they could do something, right? Makin v'on shalom and adin in certain cases, but to make a general law for a case that's so unusual, milsa de lo shchicha lo gazer be Rabbanan, right? That could mean not just that they wouldn't, but that they couldn't. Because we have to remember, this has to be seen in the context of the Rabbanan b'chlal making laws is a very tricky and limited context. The Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam asks the Kasha, how could anybody make any laws? It's a pasuk in Chumash. You're not allowed to add on to the Torah. It says it twice in Sefer Dvarim. Baal Tosif. You can't be Mosif onto the Torah. So how could the Rabbanan create Basar B'chalav, Basar Of B'chalav? How could they tell us that you have to Chanukah and Purim and anything? How could they tell us any laws? We can't write with your left hand on Shabbos. Says the, ask the Rambam in the second parak of Ilchaz Mamrim. Ho, v'yesh lebezim ligzar v'lasar davar amutar. V'yamod isura ledaro, since the Rabbanan have that power. V'chein yesh lem lahatir isur Torah lafisha, they can make something mutter, they can make something aser. Ma huzeh, shehishira Torah lo sosif ala v'lo sigra mimenu. Shlo lahosif al divrei Torah v'lo ligroa mehen. V'lekvoa adavar la'olam, shubin atorah, bein b'tar shebechzab, bein b'tar shebal peh. How could they do that? What gives them that authority, that power? Why isn't it a violation? Right? Tosfos also asked this kasha. Remember, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. How can we blow so many times on Rosh Hashanah? Isn't it Baal Tosif? So Tosfos' answer was there. There's no Baal Tosif by doing the same action more than once. Right? Eating a lot of matzah, that's Baal Tosif. Blowing a lot of shofar, that's not Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif means you're doing it for an extra day. Right? You sleep in a sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, L'shem Mitzvah. Right, in Eretz Yisrael, right, that's where you have a violation. You, or the Ramban says, you make up your own mitzvah, right, Bada mitzvah milibo. The Ramban al Torah says that, not only adding on to an existing mitzvah, but that's Baal Tosif. But, that's Tosif's answer, but the Rambam here gives a different shot. Says the Rambam, Kasa batar lo tzavashu gadi b'chalevi mo. Umi b'yishmu alam du, that's the Isser of cooking basa b'chalav, midaraisa only beef. Avo baser of mutter b'chalav min ha-Torah, babi daraisa, chicken and milk, is mutter. Im yavo bezdin, v'yater baser chaya b'chalav harezo goreya. Baal Tigra, if a bezda comes along and says, it's mutter to cook meat and beef, That would be Baltigra. Vim Yeser Basar Ov Sheyomar Shehu Bechlal Hagidi Vuhu Aser Min HaTorah Ariz Emosif. What's Baltosif if the Rabbanim would come along and say eating chicken and milk is an Isser Doraisa? That would be Baltosif. If they say Gidi is just an example. But it really means goats and cows and chickens, everything. Avalim Omar. But if they said, which they do say, Basar Ov Mutter Min HaTorah Vanu Nasar Oso, it's Mutter Doraisa. But we're going to answer it, v'nodia la'am shehu gzeira, and we let the am know that it's a decree, shelo yavo min adavar churva, that they don't, it's a gzeira, v'yomer basar of muter, b'pnei shelo nisparish batorah, kach achai muteres, right, because we don't want people to get confused, that's not a problem. Ein zem osif, el osa siyag la torah, v'chei kol kayose bazeh. It's not a problem about Tosef. So we see the Rabbanan's power always has to be curbed and limited. Because you have the dangerous sword of Baltosif. So that's why here too. It could be that they're not interested in Yechidim. Unless there's a real shash. So not just that they wouldn't, but that they couldn't. Who was the first one in history to violate Baltosif? First one in history. They didn't last long. Chava. First one in history to violate Baltosif. If Chava would have said to the Nachash, Hashem told me not to eat from the tree, and I'm not even going to touch the tree, that would have worked. But the way the formulation in the Torah is that the Nachash and Chava didn't argue, that Hashem said, don't even touch. And if Hashem said that, Rav Hirsch talks about it on the Torah, there was the blurring of the lines between, it was a great idea. Asu siyag la Torah. That would be great. The beginning of Avos Rabbi Nosson says she had a great idea. But the problem is she blurred the lines between the siyag and the din. Right? She has to make sure what's the din d'araisa and what is the din d'rabbanan. That is that's the chilah. Anyway, let's continue. Says the Gemara now. So that was answer number three. Right? Pshat number three of the Machlokas. Is it about Gush versus Avir? Is it about Oel Zarek, number two. Number three, is it about Milsa de Loshricha, whether they would go there? Last one, number four, V'ibayis Ema, a fourth suggestion, that really, the Mefarish says, again, everybody holds that it's Betame Mishum Gush. Everybody holds that Eretz Yisrael, the dirt. And everybody holds Oel Zarek is Shmei Ohel. And everybody goes, it would be an Ohel. But what's the issue here? Gzeira, Hacha, Shema, Yotzi, Rosho, Varubo, Lasham, Pligi. The question is, how much are we nervous about the spreading out of the reaching out of this person when he is in either a wagon or in a boat or in a box or in a chest? Right? That's the issue. And Vahatanya. And that's what the Brisa says as well. Vareut, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Hanichlas, Laretz, Amin, Bishita, Tebo, Migdal, Tahar, Ache, Yotzi, Lasham, Rosho, Arubo. So you see, that's the issue. You see, you know why he says tar? Because he's not worried about that. He says, you're not tummy unless you do it. But if you don't do it, it's okay. So the Rabbanan obviously are worried that you are going to do it. If they're worried, so then why is there a distinction between Shita Tevu Migdal and a Karon Sfina and Iskaria? Because the wagon, the boat are normal things that you stick your head out of. That's why we're more of Choshesh there. That's why the Rabbanan are Metame. They would be, you could be Metame there, or even everybody might be more worried there. Mashiach, Shita, Tevu, Migdal, you're closed up in a box. Right? So are you nervous there? So maybe there you wouldn't be nervous. Well, the other case you would be nervous. That's Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. And others would say, no, you're goes there in all cases. That's what the Rush says, right towards the bottom. Shita, Tevu, Migdal, Ein Nakel Kolkach. Liftoach Adelas, Lahotzi Rosho. It's not so easy to open the door to let your head out from these cases. Period. Just one other ara I wanted to mention. Tosas points out that the word Iskaria is used here for boat. Right, we had Sfina, but Iskaria is a different kind of boat with a mast. Where do we have that? So Tosas at Dibur Maskil V'Bayis Ema. The sixth line of that Tosas says, like we have, says, Ube Iskaria Guta Balaz, Meshot Sfina, Ukidarminan Ba'alma, like the Gemara says in Tainis, Ilfa Tala Nafshe Be'Iskaria De Makusa. Ilfa, we know the story in Tainus, the story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. We've quoted this many times. Story about, quote it again, we have some time. I'm a days short. The Gemara says that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were in yeshiva, and they were leaving yeshiva, and they had a vision on the way out, or at least one of them had a vision. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, Vigarsi Baraisa, Dechikalu Mil Satuva. So they left Azlu osei tute guda re'ia. They were both taking a nap under a rickety bridge. Haviko karchi rifta, and they were eating. Asu malachei ashtrei malachei ashares, and there were two angels that were having a conversation on top of them. And Rabbi Yochanan hears, the Amri Chava Chavre, Nishti alayu haiguda, let's throw this rickety bridge on top of them. V'nik talinu, why? Sheminichin chai olam abav, oskim b'chai isha. Because they're the Gdoli Adar, they should stay in the yeshiva. Doesn't mean everybody should stay in yeshiva. The Gemara Chagiga says Hashem cries, three cries, every day. One tier is for the people who are not in yeshiva who should be in yeshiva. Another tier is for the people who are in yeshiva who shouldn't be in yeshiva. And then there's a third tier also. We always have to find out where the best, where we're supposed to be in life. But these two greats were supposed to be in yeshiva. So Amar Le'idah, the other angel says, Shavkenu, Dika Behu Chad Dekayim Alei Shaita. Know that one of these people is going to be the next Gadol Ador. So don't throw it. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan Shama, Ilfa Lo Shama. Rabbi Yochanan wakes up and says, Ilfa, did you hear that? That was like, I didn't hear anything. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ah, midashami anav ilfi lo shami." From the fact that only I heard, shami no lididi kamer leshaite. It must be they're talking about me. He goes back to become Rabbi Yochanan, and Ilfa does it. And a number of times in Shas, the Gemara says Ilfa was a super genius. And a number of times he makes comments about how, you know, he said, "If I would have stayed in yeshiva, I would have." And he used to ask people to test him. So this is what Tosfos is quoting here. Azal tala nafshi biskarya desvinta. He goes up on like a mast of a boat and he says, Amar, i'ika deshal ibe masnisa, drebchia verboshia, velo pashina lemi masnisan, nafilna miskarya desvinta v'tavana. Ask me any brisa that you know of, and I'll tell you where the source of that brisa is in the Mishnah, and if I can't, I'm jumping off ship. That's what he says. That's what Tosfos quotes here. He quotes this Gemara about the Iskaria desvinta. Right? He quotes this. That's the where Iskaria comes up. See, the Magalius Hayam quotes this Gemara, some suggest, autobiographically. In the Hagdama, so the Magalius Hayam, Reuven Margolis, we have a couple of Sfarim from him, is probably the most well-known Sefer, is the Magalius Hayam on Sanhedrin. So on the first page of the Hagdama of that Sefer, he quotes this Gemara. And he just gives a fart. Usually in the Hagdama of a Sefer, you talk about, you thank the proper people, and you talk about what brought you to write this Sefer. All he does here is he quotes this story, and he quotes what happened, and he quotes this Gemara that we just read about Ilfa, and he says, you know what you see from Ilfa? Even though the Gemara says that lo b'shamayim hi, and the Torah is not me'ivr layam, and the Torah is not b'sachronim, and lo b'tagronim. He says, but you could still be a big gadol even if you're there. Ilfa, kinir'eh lo haya lo malimkar. Mistame Ilfa had no money, he had to go work. Chukrach lefanos gam la'asakim, v'lo mar tov tor and derech eretz. Mistama, the malachi asharis kaptu aleim. But this is what Ilfa didn't have a choice. Yoda Ilfa, ki amnam lo timsa alacha psuka ra lamaisa b'sachranim b'tagranim. Okay, he's not going to be the posek hador, but he could reach great levels. Amnam, and the last line of the Hakdama, lo malach, aval Ilfa eino chafetz klal limloch. Ilfa didn't want to be the god l'adar. Giague Ilfa hein lilmod ulalameid lasos aznayim latorah lishov mi mekoros rishonim lashkos tzveim l'dvar Hashem b'sichos chaverim uvepirsum divrei Torah shekasa b'pinkasav. A few times in Chazal, you have the Pinkasim of Ilfa. You have the notebooks of Ilfa. End of Hakdama. That's it. He just gives a shot of this Gemara. Right? Some people don't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. They just want people to read their Svarim. That's it. Reuven ben Ramoshe Margolis. Right? That's it. So he's autobiographically. He's writing, I didn't stay in the Yeshiva. I'm also a bit, but this is what I have to do. The Chayadim writes that. If you remember the beautiful Hakdama, required reading. Of many, the Hakdam of the Chachmas Adam, where he talks about how he's a businessman. So people might not think that he's allowed or he's able to write such a sefer on Yeridaya. Who's he to write the Chachmas Adam? Right, even though he's the mechutin of the Gra. You know, that's not enough of his background. He's a mechutin, he's a Talmud, but the Chachmas Adam writes, he says, many people said, you can't really, I was a businessman, so you can't read it. He says, you should know, every second that I have free time, I was learning. In between customers, I was learning. It was always on my mind, and Hashem helped me. What could I do? There was a gzeir in my family that I'm always going to be poor. So that's what he writes. There was a dream. Anyway, but that's what he says. But the same idea that the Margolis Hayam is quoting regarding Ilfa, regarding the Gemara that here Tosfos quotes. Okay, let's continue a little more, and then we'll see what else we have we have time for. Says, we'll get back to Eretz Yisrael maybe. We'll talk about the Tumas Eretz Amin, but maybe we'll talk a little bit about the positive. Umas Chalumona. So the Gemara ends up saying that, remember, this Mishnah, we have the two Mishnahs in this end of this parak. We have, not the end, but the second half of this parak. We have the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes, which spoke about the Tumas that a Nazir is Megaleach Aleihem, and the Mishnah here on Daf Nun Dalid, that the, what the Nazir is not Megaleach on. So the end of the Mishnah says, all of these examples of Tumas Mace, they make you Tumas Mace, but the Nazir is not, his count is not ruined. So what happens? He just has to become Tahar. So what happens? Umaze b'shlishi b'shvi, he has to get sprinkled with the Efer Paraduma on day 3 and day 7. And then he starts counting again. Umaz kilumoni miyad. Fine. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda. Lo shanu ela b'naziris mu'etes. When do we say that the Mishnah applies? What's the Mishnah talking about? By Naziris Mu'etes, which we assume is 30 days. Naziris Mu'etes, like we had the Mishnah earlier in the first parak, Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. Naziris Mu'etes is 30 days. When you have a Naziris of 30 days, that's when you cannot count these days in the interim. Not only do they not uproot the earlier days, you can't count them. Aval b'Naziris Merubah, but if you have, let's say you have a 100-day Naziris, so then not only does it not ruin the earlier days, but mislagnami salkinle, you could even count them, Rav Chisda says, as long as you have 30 days afterwards. Remember, because let's say you're a mitzvah, you're going to have to get a haircut, you need 30 days before you cut your hair for Naziris. You need Roy Legidul Seyar. So, that's what Rav Chisda says. Our Mishnah is about Naziris Mu'etes, but if it's in Naziris Meruba, you'd even be able to count the days in the interim. Says the Gemara Masav, Rav Shravi, is that really true? We had the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the language of our Mishnah was Maskulamona Miyad Vein Mavatam and Esakodman. Our Mishnah says that which you've just said, it's talking about Naziris Mu'etes, that you're allowed to count right away, and the ones earlier didn't get ruined. Right? You're allowed to count what you counted earlier. One second, let's think about this for a minute. You had a 30-day Naziris. That's what Rav Chisda says our Mishnah is talking about. Naziris Mu'etes. So let's say on day 5 you become a Mesorah. So you have a week, and then you get a haircut. At the minimum, and then what? You're allowed to count in what you had earlier, but you need at least 30 days to create the hair to be long enough to be able to cut it for the Giluach Nazirus. Says Rav Shravya, our Mishnah cannot be talking about a case where it was only a 30-day Nazirus, because our Mishnah says you're allowed to count what you had before. But if you're allowed to count what you had before, and now you need at least 30 days, but you're obviously not counting what you had before, because you're going to have to restart all the 30 days. Bimai, Ilema b'Naziris Mu'etes, if we're talking about a Naziris of 30 days, Kaboy Gidul Seyar. You need the Gidul Seyar, so Lamaisa, you're going to have to be Mevatel the Kodman. So Elala b'Naziris Merubah. So it must be talking about Naziris Merubah, a Naziris more than 30 days. Viktani Mas Chilamona Miyad. And it says you start counting right away. What is start counting right away? That means you're not allowed to count the interim days. So Rav Chisda, I don't think your pshat on the Mishnah is correct. So Humosav Lavu Mefarek La. Rav Shravya answered this, that we didn't understand Rav Chisda. When Rav Chisda says that it's only our Mishnah is about Naziris Mu'etes, it doesn't mean Mu'etes, what the Naziris originally was. Mu'etes means as long as you have what's left. B'Naziris Bas Chamishim Yom. Naziris Mu'etes means how many days are left. As long as you have 30 days left, then you're able to count the other days in the interim. If you have 100-day Naziris, then all of your days of Sifro and all the other ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah, you can count in the interim. D'Yosef Esrin, because let's say you had 20 days, V'Syal Debeit Saraz, and then you got Saraz, Megalech Sarato, V'Hadr Yosef, T'lasin Yom and Denazir. If you had a 50-day Naziris, so you did 20, so you have these days in the interim. As long as you have 30 days, so the earlier days can count. As long as you have 30 days that remain, that is enough. Okay, the next sugya, which Beth Hashem will come up tomorrow, we'll put it up from the last cycle, just to mention a note, from the last cycle it was pre-Aliyah, so there's some comments about that time period from 7.5 years ago, but there's going to be a sheet that they uploaded. I put it up on this that was made 7.5 years ago, but it just helps with the understanding of tomorrow's daf, because tomorrow is all about if you're a Nazir, but you're also Suffolk Tamei Mace, and you're also a Suffolk Mitzora. Right, so exactly how do you work out all of the shavings and all of the tumis just to be safe, but that'll be Be'ez Hashem on tomorrow's daf. Keep in mind also the Gemara that we've been talking about Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, obviously that was to help create a sense of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael has always been the central point. And obviously, according to many Rishonim, the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We try to be lechatchila Jews. There is the big mystery is the Rambam Shita, why the Rambam does not count. Rove of the poskim, and the Mefarshim assume that the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah too. It's just a question of why he doesn't count it in the Midyan of mitzvahs. It's included somewhere else. The Avnei Nezer says, the Sacha Shavar, it's included in the mitzvah of driving out the other nations. So what, you're supposed to drive out the Shivas Amamin and then leave? No, you're supposed to drive out the Shivas Amamin and then live there. That's the whole point. You don't count both parts of a single process. Or the others suggest maybe it's part of benching. Very creative suggestion. The Achalta, right? What part of the Gemara says in brachas? There are four things you have to mention in benching. If you don't mention it, you're not yotze. One of them is Eretz Yisrael. No delacha. Eretz chem betover chava. We have to thank and be makir and not realize its centrality. Right, so it's part of benching. There are other suggestions as well, but you have to realize that the Rambam, for whatever reason, didn't count it, but the Ramban is clear, and many other Rishonim are clear, and the Torah is clear. As many point out, every parsha in the Torah talks about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, starting with the first Jew. The first Jew, the first command that any Jew ever got in the history of the world was, go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Okay, so we have Tumas Eretz Amim here, Gush versus Avir. We have to also remember the positive elements in this context. Okay, we'll stop here. And Hashem, we will continue again. Tomorrow's daf, Nunvav, what we put up from the last cycle. And Hashem will pick up with the last couple of lines and the beginning of the eighth parak of Maseches Nazir as we go into the last week and a half or so of this Masechta of Maseches Nazir. Okay, we'll stop here.